Dancing.
Do you smell something?
What? No, nothing's on fire.
Nothing burning?
No.
I thought I smelled electricity.
That's just my charming, flaming personality. Hi, I'm Fausto Furnos.
And I'm Mark Fillion.
I'm Rick Aiello.
Rick Aiello is joining us here today because Rick is working on the Feast of Fools podcast behind the scenes. We got our Wikipedia entry deleted, removed from existence because we were not academic enough for this.
Yes, not scholarly enough.
Well, nope.
With little references or footnotes and a lot of self-promotional stuff.
Well, see, the thing that bothers me about removing a Wikipedia entry is that if you don't like the content of what the Wikipedia entry is, they have every right to just label it as wrong,
right,
or inappropriate, or what, you know. But at the same time, if it's poorly written, do you really want to delete it as opposed to just labeling it poorly written?
Exactly.
I mean, because there's Wikipedia is drowning in, you know, Oprah Winfrey was the 49th president of the United States entries. And here the Feast of Fools is like, you know, we're not making any outrageous claims or anything. We're just describing what we do.
Right.
And we should probably have a better, a more academic approach to it, an online encyclopedia. But at the same time, you know, people.
Well, it's nice. We'll get the references up there and things will go better for us. And then we can build on that. So it's better to start off with something small, concise, and you know, and
Feast
then work
of Fools is the name of a podcast. That should just be our Wikipedia entry.
Right.
And see if they delete that. They're like, it's not enough information.
It's not notable enough. Well, we won two People's Choice Podcast Awards for Best GLBT
Podcast.
And
those are in there.
And those are in there. Yes.
And referenced.
And referenced. Yes. Somebody might say, well, that technically is like the Grammys. They're awards that don't count.
Maybe.
So, every little bit counts.
Every little thing. But we are so on fire, people, and we're so happy to be back in Chicago, back in our comfortable, cozy little studio, and outside of the weather, you know, because when you're traveling all around California and this across this great, beautiful land that is called America, you're also out in the environment and out in the weather, and so it's a little bit unsettling when the weather changes.
Yeah, when you're outside, you're really outside.
You really are, and so you want to be home when the weather changes, and now it gets chilly because it falls around the corner.
We flew into 75-degree weather, and now it's 50-degree weather.
I know.
And you missed the 90s.
We missed the 90s. Isn't that crazy? It was hotter here in Chicago than it was out in California.
Well, honey, you know what was really hot? Was my pants. So, you know, you've heard that about the new iPod Nano being hot, but this is ridiculous. So this guy, a Douglasville man who remains anonymous, said his old...
How is he remaining anonymous if you said his name?
Did I ever say his name?
Douglasville man?
He lives in Douglasville. It's a city.
Oh, I thought his name was Douglasvilleman.
Douglasville. A Douglasville man.
Okay.
Said that his old Nano got really hot enough to burn into flames in his pants.
Wow.
I look down and I see flames coming up to my chest. Now, this is his name, Danny Williams.
Okay, well, so he's not anonymous.
No, he's not. Well, until now, he was.
Now on this podcast, he was anonymous.
He was anonymous. Anyways, so he had a Nano, iPod Nano, and I guess the iPod caught onto flames while he was working at his job in a kiosk at the Atlanta International Airport.
Wow.
At Hartsfield-Jackson.
Wow, I wonder if you'll be able to take iPod Nanos on planes now if they burst into flame.
Well, you know, it, like any lithium-ion battery, it does run the risk of catching into flames.
Really?
Yeah. Every lithium-ion battery has that risk.
What is the science behind this?
I don't know. I just know
they decide one day to blow up and catch on fire?
Yeah, well, did they explain why?
Unlike in the movies, technology actually falls apart. And we've never seen any science fiction film or television series that deals with machines just breaking down.
That happens all the time. What are you talking about? Do you watch science fiction ever?
Give me an example of that ever happening on Star Trek.
On Star Trek, always those inertial dampeners are going offline.
No. That's because they were shot at or because somebody didn't do their job.
They're always replacing cell fuels and things.
Because
they're always
breaking down.
Or they're doing maintenance on things. What was that movie we just saw where they had to reignite the sun and they had problems with all that stuff? Things malfunctioned.
Yeah, it malfunctioned because there was a crazy man on the ship.
But it malfunctioned.
It's
generation before that.
It's always because of Jesus or the Klingons
laziness. Your ass.
But the machines never, ever fail humans in science fiction.
Speaking.
No, machines never fail people. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people have unrealistic expectations of computers. They think of them as these invulnerable devices. And when their computer, their iPod or something mm-hmm. catches on fire or, you know, they just go, why me, Jesus?
I don't know. My iPod died, and I did the same thing, but you it said, didn't why catch me, on Jesus? Fire. Well, I did, because it's like I'm driving, and my iPod stops, and I'm like,
did it make an unhappy face? I heard sometimes they make an unhappy face.
It did.
It did make an unhappy face.
Now, how does it know enough to tell you that it's unhappy? You know what I mean? And it can't fix itself.
I
mean, what's that? That's like kind of like pouring salt into the wound.
But see, it really was. You're coming from unhappy. The iPod's unhappy. Everybody's unhappy.
And I'm getting a divorce.
Right.
You're coming from the expectation that a computer actually knows how to fix itself in the first place.
Well, about an hour later,
if it knows enough to make an unhappy face, it should know enough to start working again.
Well, the right. unhappy face means I don't know how to fix myself. I can't do it. I'm sorry. This is the end.
Did you try and take it to the store to get fixed?
I did.
And what'd they say?
They said, you're past your warranty. It's too old. You got to buy a new one. Oh. So I bought a new one.
What new iPod did you get?
I got the 160 gigabyte iPod Ooh. Classic.
Do you have it here? Let's take a look at
I
it.
I don't. I left it home, but I'm
well,
a size
what's
queen.
What's the point of having a portable media player when you don't carry it around with you?
Well, because I wasn't in my own car, so.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
because
you put it
up.
In your car.
Right. The Feast of Fools is brought to you by generous support of handsome, beautiful, attractive, long-haired, twinkly-eyed listeners just like you.
Without your support, we really couldn't do this show, so please visit feastoffools.net, make a donation, buy a t-shirt.
You can visit our website, feastoffools.net, get yourself a fabulous t-shirt, because
without you,
we're nothing.
Like that?
Oh,
just like that.
Yes, Daddy. Give it to me. Give it to me.
Tell me luxury's definition. I said, tell me luxury's definition. I said, tell me luxury's definition. Must be the whisper that everyone listens. I've been told that money rules the world.
Yes, everyone, it's the podcast that just might set your pants on fire, the Feast of Fools. On today's show, Jesus stirs up trouble in Africa.
Santa Claus versus zombies.
An iPod sets a man's pants on fire.
Crazy man tries to make change with a $1 million bill.
And why do people choose to practice those kinky fetishes? All this and more on the People's Choice Podcast Award-winning podcast for 2 years in a row.
Two.
Feast of Fools. Stay tuned. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
I'm Rick Aiello.
And what? This is the... What?
What about the crazy guy that... has the dildo up his ass.
Oh, yeah. A crazy guy died with a dildo up his ass. Stay tuned. This is music of Eric Hyman from the song. The song is Luxury's Definition from the album All for Show, available on our website, feastoffools.net. Now you can say it.
Stay tuned.
I'm not some girl, psychic vegan. Just like a good man, is that so bad? Tell me luxury's definition. I said, tell me luxury's definition. Tell me luxury's definition. Tell the truth, never have to be forgiven.
Hello, boys. Did you miss me?
I sure did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how are you? Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy to be here. You know, our Mae West, I guess, infotainment news story... Because, you know, it's surprising every time I run into people and they just don't know these divas of popular culture of the past. And Mae West is somebody you really should know about.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, you may not... Wikipedia might delete her entry because there you go.
She's been dead claims. For like 20, 30 years. Right,
she's not really dead. She's alive in everyone's
hearts. In our hearts.
She's dead. She'd be over 100 years old now.
She is. Yeah. For those of you who don't know who Mae West is, quickly, she was a vaudevillian performer of stage and screen, and she starred in the film My Little Chickadee opposite W.C. Fields, which she refused to be in any further films with him, citing his drinking problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, but the fun thing about it is we came up with this little game in California, and so we decided to make it a thread on the forums.
And it's a hit.
It's a hit. So it's we call it Dueling Mae West. So the object of the game is to come up with a good, sexy double entendre to a profession. Now, we started with a profession like doctor, so, you know, so I say doctor, and then somebody says, doctor, huh? Want to play sometime? And then, and another example we came up with was, we said carpenter, and then the next person we go, carpenter, huh? I'd like to see you lay some wood sometime.
So we're going to reenact a little of that. We're going to sort of ring around the rosy here with our good pal Rick Ayala, who's a comedic actor of sorts.
So I say, what do you do for a living?
I'm a lawyer.
Lawyer, huh? Could you help me examine my penal code involving my big case sometime?
Say, young man, what do you do for a living?
I'm a librarian, Miss Manners.
Oh, librarian, huh? Can you check out this hardcover?
What do you do for a living, boy?
I'm a veterinarian.
Ooh, veterinarian, huh? I think my kitty needs a checkup.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a dentist.
Dennis, huh? I've got a cavity that needs a big filling.
Say, fella, what do you do for a living?
I'm an auto mechanic.
Oh, auto mechanic, huh? I could really use a fluid change, if you know what I mean.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a mailman.
Ooh, mailman, Tell me, is that package cash on delivery?
Tell me, what do you do for a living?
I'm a baker.
Baker, huh? Can you check out these muffins?
Young man, what do you do for a living?
Why, I'm a truck driver.
Truck driver, eh? Would you like to drive your big rig up my tunnel?
What do you do for a living, big boy?
I'm a construction worker, ma'am.
Ooh, a construction worker? Well, you must be good at erecting things.
Say, what do you do for a living?
I'm a teacher.
A teacher, huh? Well, you could use this body to teach anatomy.
What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm a farmer.
Oh, farmer, I? Oh, well, old MacDonald, you can plow my field any day. Oh!
Hey, big boy, what do you do for a living?
I'm a country singer, ma'am.
Ooh, country singer, huh? Well, call me up if you ever want some lessons in rock and roll.
And then we're left with Diplomat, thanks to Maya, Jonathan Ventura, and me, Fausto, and
Jonathan,
and Ashek, Wilson. SF Silver, Gabe, and Curtis, Jensen, Tweezy, K. Winshaw, and all the other people, too numerous to mention, who have contributed
to that.
Yeah, so you can visit our website, feastoffools.net, community forums, and throw in, you know, fabulous Mae West quotes.
What are you doing?
You know, because if Mae West were alive today, she'd be trying to get out of her coffin.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to claw my way out of my coffin, if you know what
so
I mean.
So I can make some sexy double entendres.
You know, in the movie Sextet, which I just learned today, refers to the sixth lover she had,
had. I made that up.
Really? Didn't know?
No, I don't know why they call it sextet.
That sounds like to me.
Because you're like, she just made up the word sextet. I'm like, the sextet is like a musical group of six people.
Sex. It's tet. Like sextet. Because I have tets.
I think she did probably have like five romances. But she had a fiance or a husband in there.
Well, wait,
handsome Timothy Dalton.
A very pre-James Bond, pre-alcoholism Timothy Dalton. He is looking fabulous and very yummy as Marlo Manners, played by Mae West's love interest, and they're about to get married, and she's trying to prove her faithfulness to mm-hmm. him, despite the fact that every man on the screen is irresistibly and irrationally attracted to Mae West.
Even though she was like 90 years old.
She was 85, I think, or something like
hello,
that.
Hello, boy.
But I was also, because we've been YouTubing it and stuff like that, and I was watching the one
she's so wonderful.
And she was in a car with somebody, I think, after the premiere of that, and they weren't talking about the movie, They just were, she was
the
kind
movie
of looked,
went really
well,
bad.
Yeah, it was bad. And she said to him, she's like, well, that was today. We got to start thinking about tomorrow.
But can you say it as Mae West?
That was today. We got to start thinking about tomorrow.
Oh, well,
and that's what we're gonna do.
And so we're gonna move on. So, yes. Anyways, thank you, Mae West, wherever you may be. I know she's looking at us from Mae West's own special chaise lounge in heaven, saying, "Those boys are all right,
sipping on a cocktail,
having a fabulous time." Mm-hmm. Mm. So, speaking of what a way to go and having a sexy time, an Alabama minister. Now this I usually don't read news items in full, but this mm-hmm. one's chock full of delicious details. So, an Alabama minister who died in June of accidental mechanical asphyxia, in other words, autoerotic asphyxiation, was found hogtied and wearing two complete wetsuits, including a face mask, diving gloves and slippers, rubberized underwear, a head mask, and a partridge in a pear tree, according to an autopsy report. Investigators determined that Reverend Gary Aldridge's death was not caused by foul play, and that the 51-year-old pastor of Montgomery Thorington's Road Baptist Church was alone in his home at the time he died. While the Montgomery Advisor, a local newspaper, which first obtained autopsy records, reported on Aldridge's two wet suits, the family newspaper chose not to mention what police discovered inside the minister's rubber briefs. Aldridge served as the church's pastor for 16 years. Immediately following his death, church officials issued a press release asking community members to please refrain from speculation about what led to Aldridge's demise, adding, "We will begin the healing process under the strong arm of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ."
So he was found in a wet, like, two pairs of wetsuits.
Two wetsuits.
A dildo was up his ass?
A dildo was up his ass, and he had a rubber
and
mask
on his face. And he was hogtied?
Hogtied.
He hogtied himself?
I guess so. I don't know. There was no foul play. I guess he wanted it to happen.
Wow.
So it's like, Jesus loves even people like this.
Absolutely. And that's why he brought him home.
Yes. He said,
to the great butt plug in the sky.
Well, I just, you know, I think I encourage people to try new sexual undertakings, but please, please do so responsibly and have people in the room if you're going to, you know, please don't
strangle yourself
within an inch of your life. This is ridiculous. Or do it in a hospital. Don't do it at all.
Do it under a doctor's care.
Yeah.
You know,
consult with a doctor first.
That's not something you want to really fuck around with. You know, you try just holding your breath.
Well, one of our listeners,
it works just the same without, you know.
One of our, young spirited listeners in California was asking me, is like, why do, you know, some of our listeners and other people in the world, so why do they electrocute themselves or tie themselves up in leather or try all sorts of kinky fetishes? What mm-hmm. what's the appeal of that?
What's the draw? The allure?
So I don't know. That's a question we're posing here today on the show and to you, our listeners, is what causes people to go more than just vanilla? For me, you know, vanilla is a delicious flavor of ice cream.
Yes.
And from the looks of us here in the crew, we have plenty of
I've seen you eat lots of rocky road, though, if you know what I mean.
What do you mean by that?
I'm not making any scat jokes.
Rocky road?
I wasn't thinking scat, but now that you mention it.
What were you thinking?
Well, have you guys ever, like, been forced into licking somebody's ass?
No. Forced into licking
or,
somebody's
ass? Because they were hot, and you were like, please lick my ass, and you're like, I don't know.
It doesn't look very clean. I have had that happen, actually.
Really?
Where, you know, they're like shoving your face toward it, and they're like, come on. And I'm like,
you don't know where my mouth has been.
I don't know where that ass has been. I'm sorry. And I know where that ass has been.
Wouldn't you want them to pretty much take a shower or like clean up back there before you ate their ass?
Well, we won't.
I would want the Chicago Fire Department
There wasn't a shower available in the public park, was there?
No.
In the movie theater.
I just get a hose and just, you know, spray them down and we're all fine.
I mean, there have been about 4 or 5 times in my life that I've, you know, nibbled on the rectum.
But there have been times where I see it an ass in front of me, and it's just like, oh yeah, I'm going for that. Oh yeah, yeah.
And did that ever happen? Did your mouth and those cheeks
my mouth sang a beautiful song. It was just wonderful. It was
now, this show's not for children, so we're warning you. Kids, turn this off. Go listen to the Disney podcast.
I'm trying to think if anybody's forced me into like some kind of weird fetish of theirs, and I can't think of one. But now you were, some guy asked you to tickle him from head to toe with a feather.
Yes,
wasn't it?
I hooked up with this very handsome, sexy man who actually is a model, and he models right now for ads for real estate.
Yeah.
And every time I was pointing, there's the tickle guy, and he's very attractive, very nice body, and he was. All he did was to lie down, and he pulled out a bunch of feathers and little tickle toys, and he's like, I really would like for you to tickle me.
Wow.
And I was like, honey, for you, I'll wear a shark's outfit and think I'm Flipper. Think I'm Jabberjaw.
But,
So anyways, I pull out these feathers, and I'm tickling him, and I'm like, are you enjoying this? And I don't hear anything except, and his cock
was that
got hard.
Good or bad?
Oh, he was enjoying it, but all he would do, it wasn't like, oh yeah, it was, and I was like, after an hour of this, I was like, I'm out of here.
Oh,
I'm trying to think. I haven't had anybody try and do anything kinky. I remember one time though, I was with somebody and I wanted to do it in the car just because it was convenient or something like that, and they were totally appalled at the idea of giving
of
a
having
blow,
sex in a car.
Well, just even I think it was just like even some oral sex in a car.
Cars are made for oral
sex. Yeah, I know. That's what I when thought. I thought, you're weird that you've never like fooled around in a car. Half my sexual experiences have been in a car.
When I lived in Wisconsin, that was my bedroom. I mean, I didn't have anything but my car.
I know.
Oh, it's like, I don't want to ride in your guys' cars
anymore. Wisconsin.
Well, that was like three cars a year. Ago,
oh my God. So. I hope you have a good, what is it? Detailing is what it's called. When they remove the stains out of the inside of the car.
Yeah.
So, and why do people do, you know, push themselves? You know, one thing I've noticed is like there's some people out there who want to like pierce parts of their bodies, tattoo themselves, wear all sorts of costumes, leather gear and stuff.
Dye their hair blue.
Right.
Well, I don't dye my hair blue because
it's a sexual thing.
A sexual thing. It's right. It's a personality thing.
Try denying that to the audience, Faust.
The people are like, are your genital hair dyed blue? And it's like, does a carpet match the drapes? I said, that's for me to know and you to find out.
And I'll meet you later.
I'll meet you later in my hotel room, big boy. But, you know, I think part of it is that as people get older, or you know, not all older people do this, but some people, their genitals don't work. Their cocks can't get hard as hard as they used to. So either they turn to Viagra or they turn to creative other ways of stimulating themselves in order to receive and give sexual release.
Right. But there's people that everything's functioning down there and they start out in the kink area very young.
And
they can't get enough of it.
Because I don't accept the argument that it was they were tortured by their parents and that's why they like to be tortured.
I've never heard that argument, but I...
We've made it several times on this podcast.
Everybody says that it's like they go to, you know, something like International Mr. Leather, and you just have sometimes feel like you jump to the conclusions like there's a lot of screwed up people in this world. But I don't know. I mean, they're being sane, safe, and healthy, and it's like they're exploring their sexuality, and they meaning fetishists or of one type or another. And
with all due respect to Pup Don,
I did go
to the puppy party,
puppy play, and explain what that is to people.
It was a separate party from the entire, you know, IML experience, where people dressed up as dogs, and you know, they're dressed up. I mean, some guys were dressed up in full, like, dog fur and ears and noses.
So you went into the room and you thought for a minute you were in a kennel.
I did. Because they're all, like, barking and they're running after bones and they're getting fed
sniffing
dog treats
butts,
and they're sniffing each other's
eating
butts.
Eating feces.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see any of that.
Like dogs do.
Chasing, I'm sure it happened
chasing
later.
Chasing after pussies.
But I wanted to see what it was about because I heard so much about my friends had gone the year before.
You went for the freak show is what you went for.
Pretty much. Okay. But it was... it was entertaining. Mm-hmm. It was very, very entertaining.
Well, I could think of a lot of ways to be entertained.
I think it's funny. And I love, there's a picture on, pictures of you. Pup Don posted a picture of himself and his dog, a dog outfit that he borrowed, this mask. And this mask is gorgeous. I was like, I want to wear that for Halloween. Go wear that to the Halsted Street Parade.
Well, Halloween is just around the corner. Okay,
I don't have a costume yet.
We're going to turn.
I don't either.
We're going to be like lazy content creators on the internet, and we're going to turn to our audience to tell us, what do you want us to dress up for Halloween? And we will dress up as that and take pictures of it. Now, it has to be something that's not too expensive. So I'm not going to be a Fabergé egg for Halloween.
And it has to be kind of warm because it gets cold here.
Yeah, no nudist.
Yeah.
Porn stars.
Maybe we can go as Adam and Eve, maybe. I don't know.
That's a bad idea.
That would be kind of cool. That would be cool.
My favorite approach to Halloween in the past couple of years is I go into a costume shop and I find a costume that I like. So like a cowboy or a
You're
knight,
a lazy drag queen.
I'm a lazy drag queen. And so, and then what I do is I combine it with vampire teeth. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm a milkman who has
vampire.
We got
those hillbilly teeth though now too.
I like those hillbilly teeth a lot. And I might just work with those. Mm-hmm. But
we gotta find them.
Well, they're around. We have several pair. I just keep some handy every time. And a wonderful thing to do is to put on the hillbilly teeth and go around shooting photos of people's reaction to your face. Because you go up to them and say, "Can I take your picture, ma'am?" And they look at you like,
"Will you take a picture with me?"
And that's fantastic. So
would you kiss me?
So what should Mark and Fausto be for Halloween? Tell us on our website, feastoffools.net, and we will, the most popular votes, I guess, or the most, we will actually do it. So, please don't make me, please don't force feminize me.
What happens if you get like a whole bunch of votes and they're all different?
Well, we'll just pick on the one that interests us the most, So.
Well, Rick, do you have a plan? What are you doing for Halloween? What are you going
to
wear?
Actually, I have to go to a wedding.
On Halloween Day?
Well, not on Halloween Day, but the weekend of Halloween.
Okay. So, well, Halloween is what day? I love about Halloween. The parade is always the 31st, though. That's what I love.
Right.
So you can go.
Yeah, they never do change it.
They never do change it. So I'm always very glad that it's on that day.
Yeah, I have
so
no
you
plans.
Always know when it is. So
yep.
We'll be there.
Halloween's
we'll
be
passing
gonna be
out cards.
Wednesday, October 31st, and you can hang out with us and a bunch of Korean students.
Yes.
With their cameras, taking pictures
Lots
of the
of
ugly
Asians.
Drag queens on Halsted Street in Chicago, which is it's a freaky, very strange, and very safe event because from where I hear, the Halloween parade in San Francisco is
it's
chaos.
A nightmare. Right. They shoot people.
Yeah.
They take a gun and go.
Here it's lots of Asians. So if you like Asians, come on down.
The only thing that gets shot in the Halloween parade in Chicago is photographs.
That's right.
And the other thing they take is photos, and then they keep as photos. I'll leave it.
Do they leave anything behind?
I think I screwed up that. They're happy feelings and footprints. Aww.
You know what we should go as? Mongol warriors.
We should. And then anything that has to do with Asian theme, because there's so many Asian people at this
event. There are.
It's like they all come in from, I don't know where they're coming from, but last year, we should tell the story again, because it's so good.
We hung out with San Juan, who was from Korea. He was a minister or something like that.
He was a Methodist minister,
And he was taking pictures and wanted to hang out with us. He's like, please, may I take your picture? And so he took our picture, and then he just never left.
And I asked him what his name was, and he said, "My name is San Juan." And I was like, "San Juan?" It's like, that's the name of the city from Puerto Rico that I'm from.
Right.
Yo, what's up? And he's like, "What?
What?"
And I'm like, "Puerto Rico, it's an island in the Caribbean, like, I like to live in America. Everything fine with it, And he's like, he didn't know
anything.
Didn't
get it, nope.
Nothing.
And after a while, he thought we were trying to drug him and seduce him. So he's like, "I do not want to have sexual relations with you." and I'm like, "Nobody asked you." And then we took him to a bar. He's like, "Please do not put any drugs in my drink." I'm like,
and so I turned to Stuart. I go,
"Don't worry about
Stuart,
it.
One beer without any drugs." And he's like, "Coming right up." and he wouldn't drink it
because
it was
draft beer. Yeah, and he thought it was had drugs in it.
So hopefully we'll have other delicious stories after this Halloween for you. So tell us what we should be. Feastoffools.net. Comment on that. What should we be for Halloween? So gay rights is on its way. Speak of Asians, gay rights is well on its way to Singapore.
We'll see. What's happening in Singapore? They have some kind of vote going on or
so,
something.
So, yeah, they're voting right. The government is in the process. Hundreds of Singaporeans are calling for the government to decriminalize homosexual sex ahead of a parliamentary debate on the first overhaul of criminal law in Singapore in a quarter of a century.
Wow.
Under the proposed changes to be debated later this month, oral and anal sex between consenting heterosexual adults will no longer be considered an offense, but they want to extend that to acts between men and, you know, with a sexy twist.
You work it, guys, because we have quite a few. Well, we probably have 4 listeners in Singapore.
So we have quite a few of them. So shout out to you guys and you know, no disrespect by the following comments I will make or past, present, or future. But here we go. So petition organizer Alan Shia said in a statement that by keeping the clause, we are, in fact, moving backwards. I don't know why this makes cracks me up so much. But, he says we're moving backwards, which is...
Why?
Which means, you know...
They're
which defeats
backwards.
The government...
They're backing up on something.
Which defeats government's goals of updating our criminal laws to keep in step with Singapore's image as a modern and forward-thinking country. The tone of the society, the public and society as a whole, should be really set by the heterosexuals, and that's the way many Singaporeans feel. Our view as a government, we will go with society. What will people do in private is their own business. In public, certain norms apply. So what they're saying is that the public is ready for decriminalizing homosexuality.
They've been ready for centuries.
So I guess that what's happening is that a lot of these anti-sodomy laws are sort of a luggage that was left behind by the British colonists in the past.
Well, I think, too, in Singapore, too, they're kind of Muslim as well, aren't they?
There's a whole... I don't know anything about Singapore except that, you know, the Singapore sling, one of my favorite drinks, comes from there.
And not this kind of sling you're thinking of.
Right. Yes, yeah, right. I'm not... I don't swing that way, people.
That's my favorite kind of sling.
The Singapore sling. So, and
I'm excited because they have a new movie coming out that they're working on. The production company behind, you remember that movie 300 with all the hunky guys?
I like that? That's a movie you got to see in the IMAX to get really a sense of all that massive wall of muscle, if you know what I mean.
So they've optioned the rights to The Last Christmas, which is a graphic novel about Santa Claus's crusade to save the world from hordes of ungrateful zombies. So the story follows Santa Claus as he withdraws from normal life and he turns his back on Christmas, but then he emerges from seclusion and he has to find a way to save the world and Christmas from being overrun by demons, zombies, and other bad guys. Doesn't that sound like fun?
I hear they're actually Arnold Schwarzenegger is scheduled to leave the government of leave governor of California to actually play the role. Come with me if you want to save Christmas.
Ho ho ho.
So they finally get a chance to use my Terminator receptacle. When Terminator saves Christmas.
That would be
a good movie.
22. The what?
Terminator
comes back at Christmas time. Come with me if you. And he says, "Who would he say that to?"
He would be, "Come with me if you want to save Christmas, Sarah Connors."
Don't cry, I'll be back next year.
And be like, "The true meaning of Christmas is when people from all religions come together to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So, anyways, amen. Speaking of Jesus causing up mischief and mayhem when he's not awarding People's Choice Podcast Awards, as they, you know, I just realized that the people who won Podcast of the Year were thanking Jesus in their thing sincerely.
Really? They were?
Yeah, they were saying L'chaim, which means to life, right?
Right.
But it's also a form of a prayer to God, because if you're Jewish, I guess, I'm not sure exactly
so
how
why
that
would
works.
That be with Jesus?
Well, it's thanking their God,
well,
thanking
if they're Jewish,
their religion.
They wouldn't be
obviously
thanking
would be thanking Jesus,
Jesus
yeah.
Right.
But, you know, it's what a Jewish person would, you know, I don't know. I've never seen a Muslim person win a Grammy, for example. But I'm sure they would go, thank
Didn't
you, Allah.
Didn't Cat Stevens win a Grammy?
Did he say thanks to Allah for this Grammy?
I don't know. I was kind of young back then.
But I think he actually converted to Islam after he won the Grammy.
Is that right?
He might have been on his way, but I think he changed his name and all that.
What's his name now again?
Yusuf Islam.
There you go.
Yusuf Islam. Good.
So anyways...
Who needs Wikipedia when you have Rick Aiello? Yeah.
That's right. The Rocket Man right here sitting across the table from me. So Jesus is all up to no good in Africa. The head of the Catholic Church in Mozambique is reportedly claiming that condoms and some drug treatments are deliberately being infected with an HIV/AIDS virus as a part of an international plot to kill African people. And I'm like, what kind of what were you smoking?
I don't even understand how that's possible. Yeah.
Why is he even saying that? I don't understand. What's his motivation for saying that?
I don't know. You know.
Is he trying to get people not to take their HIV medication?
Or not to use condoms?
I don't know what it is. You know, it is sort of a strange...
What church is this guy from?
He's the Catholic Church in Mozambique.
No, well, he's not.
Well, he's the head of the Catholic Church in Mozambique.
If he's from the Catholic Church and he doesn't want them to use the condoms.
He's the Archbishop.
Wow.
Francisco Chimuoyo.
Give me that article. I can't believe he's Catholic.
And he's saying that? What do you mean that? He can't? The Pope is against condoms.
He's trying to get people not to use condoms. So the Pope himself is
against. Pope Hitler II is against condom use, Mark Feeling. In case you didn't notice.
Amongst
other things. And he would love to see, you know, it's kind of like I went up to the guy, the Catholic priest, who actually said he listens to our podcast.
Really?
And he said to me.
I'm sorry.
Well, I said to him, he said...
We take back everything we said.
We congratulations on the award and, you know, congratulations on being nominated. And I said, I'll see you in hell.
And he said, okay.
And he said, fabulous. Have a fabulous day.
We'll see you there.
No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it is sad because I like religions. You know, I kid religions, but I do like them. They're
well, this is just shocking that they would say this because, I mean, how many people... You know,
it's very damaging, and you know, you ain't got much else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got condoms, you got
They're
HIV
kind of
meds.
Grasping at straws with this one,
and he's talking to the BBC. So I mean, maybe he said it to the BBC and not to Africans.
Well, maybe
it was
a slow news day. You know,
so they just made it up.
Well,
you know?
they were just doing this. So, anyways, this is a good news item in Pittsburgh, your favorite city in America, city of brotherly love. No, that's Philadelphia.
It's the city of
Pitts.
Close enough.
The city of Pitts and Steep Hills. Because we were in Los Angeles and we're driving around. What neighborhood was that?
We were in Echo Park.
Echo Park.
I think it was Baxter Street?
One of these streets. They said it was the steepest
street. The steepest incline in all of California, this whole state.
As far as roads. We had to stop the car and look outside because we thought we were driving off a cliff.
Foster made me get out and look. And I literally, when I got out to look, I had to kind of like lean over the precipice. But the street continued and we went down it. And then we came to another one. And we're like, hell no. And so once we turned left, but then Fred was like, oh yeah, you took the wrong way.
Was that in LA or San Francisco?
LA, Los Angeles. In Echo Park. Yeah,
really? San Francisco, the street weren't as
steep. They were
steeper
there.
Mm-mm. Well, they're the world's most curvy street is in
right,
San Francisco.
Lombard Street.
Yeah. But that's kind of a faking, you know.
Yeah, it's a fake street. They built it that way on purpose,
and all the tourists stand
tourist
there and go,
attraction.
Gee, look at this street.
I said I wanted to ride down in a giant teacup. I think that would be fun.
You should steal one of the teacups from the teacup Disney? Ride in Disney, or ask them to lend it to you.
I should.
You get inside like a big donut and go roll.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. Or a tire. Anyways, in Pittsburgh, city of Pitts, a man who, I guess he got one of these $1 million notes from a pamphlet from a Dallas-based church, went into a supermarket and asked for change for a $1 million bill. But it's, you know how they have $1 million and then the other side is like, Jesus is your $1 million or, you know. Mm-hmm.
So he tried to cash this in and went berserk when they wouldn't do it.
Yes. And then he took the electronic funds transfer machine and slammed it into the counter and then reached for a scanner gun and started whack the woman with
this
it.
This sounds like Homer Simpson.
Wow.
I want my change.
For you guys know, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. The $100 bill is the largest note in circulation.
Yes.
Right. So you can't get $500 or
no,
$200 or
$1,000. Like that. No.
I don't think they make them anymore.
They don't.
They did at one
they
time.
Did?
Yeah.
They did,
but they were like novelty or something like that. I don't think they were really,
They didn't circulate. You couldn't spend them. You couldn't use them.
I mean, who would take them, you know?
Right.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, what's the
do you remember when a $100 bill was kind of rare?
Yeah, I remember it was a lot of money.
And now you see them everywhere.
Well, when I was a kid, one time when it was like, was my 16th birthday or something, I got a $100 bill.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, wow.
That's a lot of candy.
And I said, you know what? I was so naive as a kid. I was like, I'm going to start collecting these.
I would love to collect them.
I collect $100 bills.
Did you get smacked a lot as a kid?
No, I didn't. And I was like, you know, and I was like, I'm going to collect these. And, you know, if I get one a month, I'll have $1,200 by the end of the year.
Where were you going to get them from?
Well, I would just, you know, figure out a way to get them.
You would collect them from
people. Right. I'm a collector. I collect things.
In Puerto Rico, you go along the beach and beg from tourists, right?
Yeah, just be like, hi, I'm collecting $100 bills.
Would you have spare a couple?
I know some of our listeners, like 5% of our listeners make over $200,000 a year or more.
Wow. Are they single?
I guess. I don't know may be, but you know who you are out there. And so, we salute you if you've donated
and send
to the
us
show.
$100 bill.
Because I collect them.
Because we're collecting $100 bills.
We're
making
daily.
Fausto's childhood dream come true. So just make a little donation, put a little thing, say, making Fausto's dreams come true.
Yeah, Disney's not the only land of a thousand dreams. Was it their slogan this year?
Land where a million dreams, dreams come true.
You know, I have to say,
Wisconsin.
Good time. Oh, guess where we're going?
We're going to, by gosh, we're going to Oshkosh.
Now, is that two words or one word?
Oshkosh is one word.
And that's the name of the city? Mm-hmm.
That's the name of, there's a city in Wisconsin called Oshkosh where they make jeans, right?
Yeah. That's and where Oshkosh Bagosh.
Bagosh.
Yes, those are made there.
And Bagosh is suburb of cheap? Oshkosh?
I imagine they probably...
Bagosh is a suburb of Oshkosh, yes.
It is?
Yes. So there's Oshkosh and then there's Bagosh, Wisconsin.
Are you serious?
Why would I say that?
I don't know. I just thought it was like some cutesy little thing.
I'm not so sure he is right about that. But
Bagosh is like an expletive. Like, oh my.
Yeah.
Oshkosh was also like, oh gosh.
Oshkosh is Indian for the land between the waters.
Oh. Midwesterners just love crazy names for things.
But what I'm not making up is that we're going to the University of Wisconsin at Oshkosh. We are going to be there on October 16th at 8 p.m. in the what lounge?
I don't know. Let me take a look at my notes. What lounge?
So we're going to do a live podcast event for the GLBT organization there, and also anybody else is invited. So if you are in the Oshkosh area and would like to see us on October 16th.
Wisconsin,
yes.
Because it's a short drive there from wherever you are.
It's pretty central.
The state of we, W-Y.
So if you're there, and it will cost you, if you're not a student at the university, it'll cost you $2.
You know what's interesting about the $2 fee?
What?
Is when I first started doing live performances like this one.
It was $2.
We also charged $2. That was in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So $2. I'm back to charging $2 for a show.
Can we reference that on the Wikipedia page?
We can. There's no proof of it.
Right?
You need a footnote.
Do you have something I can reference for that?
I have no way to proving anything happened ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not even my birth certificate. I might not even be Fausto Furnos.
You might not.
This might not be the Feast of Fools podcast because Wikipedia says we don't exist.
So where will we be?
We're going to be Wednesday, October 17th, 8 p.m. at
17th?
Reeve. Yes.
Okay, 17th.
Wednesday, October 17th, 8 p.m. What did you say? You said a different day.
I think I said the 16th.
Okay, because we're driving up there on the 16th.
Okay.
But it's Wednesday, October 17th, 8 p.m., Reeve Unions Underground, 748 Algoma Boulevard in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, 54901. Parking is free in the lot 15 across from the student union. Admission is free to all University of Wisconsin students and to the general public, $2. Due to limited seating, please arrive early. And Amanda Steinstein will be there, and possibly, maybe, Sally and others.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be causing general mayhem, and we will be doing a slide presentation of our favorite non-sexual fetishes.
Mm-hmm.
Such as
forced feminization,
scat,
masking,
not sexual at all,
and cake sitting,
yes,
and among others. So those are we're doing some research. So if you have any fetishes that you think we should talk about that are not necessarily sexual but just kind of humorous in tone, tell us about it, because we learn about these things through you,
right,
our listener. You know, so,
and plus we need photos too.
Yeah, we need images. So instead of, you know, if you're a masking person or if you're into infantilism, you know, if you like to be an adult baby, just send us the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric Hyman is not going to be performing at that.
I know. It's sad.
Unfortunately. Oh. But he's performing now here in the house. Say hi to everybody, Eric.
Hi there.
Hi.
So we're leaving you with Eric Hyman, and you can buy his music on our website, feastoffools.net, home of fabulousness.
Right. So go to feastoffools.net, get yourself a profile, you know, enjoy the community sites, get active, talk with people, meet friends, influence people.
And make enemies, too. You know, if you listen to the show, you can also subscribe to it regularly on the iTunes Music Store. Did you know that?
Really?
All you have to do is type in Feast of Fools or Gay Fun Show, and the show pops up along with our other programs, like Mini Bites, Show Me Now. And you can automatically, every day, download the Feast of Fools into your heart and into your computer. It's just that easy, and it doesn't cost you a penny. You don't even need a credit card to do it.
Nope, it's free.
It's free. Free like the wind.
Gratis.
But you know what is not free is the production cost to create this show. So we depend on your contributions. You can do so by going to our website, feastoffools.net. We have fabulously, deliciously digital black t-shirts available waiting for you, because the t-shirt you save will find a home in your arms, and you will look fantastic. Rick has a photo of himself.
I sure do.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like the shirts?
I love it.
Be honest.
It's really
wonderful.
You hate
it, don't you?
No, I love it.
You use it as a cleaning rag now.
No. It has a place of prominence in my home.
You use it as a cum rag, don't you?
I have. But that's a good thing.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well. Because I pull it out and I say, look.
Fellas, this stimulated me.
Yeah.
Well, Rick, thank you for stimulating us today and joining in the fun, and
my
for
pleasure.
Helping to bring us back from Wikipedia abyss.
Purgatory.
From the abyss to
limbo.
Bliss.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank my husband, Mark Pelias.
You're welcome. Thank you, Fausto Fernos.
Thank you for being sexy, Mark.
Thank you for being sexy as well.
Thank you for being insightful and intelligent.
Oh, thank you for being funny and comical.
Thank you for being brown around town.
Thank you for making me a little sick.
Goodbye, everybody.
He's an earth goddess. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Seems your heart has only room for one. A fortress built high enough for your heart to run. Oh, you had your life perfectly aligned. I know I'm something you never ever thought you'd find. But now, yes, you share my view. Can you see the outskirts of you? And now that you share my view, can you see what I see? 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 From the outskirts of